Hi, everyone. This is Aaron, and you are listening to the Sound Words Podcast, a podcast about the life and times of today's worship leaders. Today's guest is Indora Pan, and we're going to talk about AACF, slowing down and getting rest, and worship on and off the stage. Thanks for listening. Maybe I don't know if you want to talk about this. Let's talk about how you messed up on Sunday.
I still haven't listened to the recording, but maybe it's because I'm too prideful to listen to it, and I don't want to listen to me mess up. It's like a cringeworthy moment. You know, I go back to that moment in my head. I've been beating myself up over that stupid mistake, but I think what it reveals is my own pride. Like, I'm pretty prideful, but I think in that moment, I just was like, oh, it needs to be another beat, and then I'll come in. But then when we practiced, even though I thought that when we practiced, I still came in when I needed to come in, you know? So I don't know.
It's not a big deal. I know that I give you guys a hard time, and we're our worst judges, you know, we're our worst critics.
I know. But I appreciate it though. I do think because we didn't have the words, I mean, I was used to not having the lyrics in front of me. And I remember when it was my turn to go, the sound team didn't switch to my spot yet. So I was kind of waiting. Yeah. I was kind of waiting for that too. And then I knew you were saying 1, 2, 3. And then I was like, oh shoot, they didn't switch yet. And then I don't know. But it's not their fault at all. But
right, of course.
I just know that. I don't know, in that moment, it was just a, I don't know, freak accident. I'm just kidding.
No, it's true. You don't mess up. That is true. I mean, we all do mess up. We all do. Yes, we all do. Have you always been so critical on yourself, or do you think it's only when you started playing with me where I would like call you guys out on your stuff?
I think in public settings where I'm doing a presentation or performance, no, I don't like to mess up at all. because you're in front of the public eye, and so I usually don't. Because I do, even if I fake my confidence, even if I'm not feeling confident, as I'm seeing, I get more confident.
I mean, that's part of being a performer, you know?
Yeah, so I think this is really the first time where I can remember I messed up in my life. No, I'm just kidding.
You did AA, right? Is that your college fellowship, AA?
I was in AA, but I didn't sing in AA. Oh. I chose not to sing. Yeah. I chose not to sing in AA.
Can you share that story again? Or if you don't want to share that story, you don't have
to.
Oh, no,
I can share it.
I kind of forgot it.
It was because I didn't, well, one, I transferred from Mount SAC to AA, and then during my 2 years in community college, I didn't think my faith was that strong, or that was when I was tested a lot, and that's when I think my faith was solidified. But when I transitioned to UCLA and joined AACF, I didn't tell people I could sing just because I felt that in high school, when I was a worship leader, I was really prideful. Like I probably am still now, but I did sing for all the wrong reasons to give myself glory. And I could see myself just being tempted to only think about myself as I was up there. And because I felt that I was just not a new believer, but I was at a place of my life where I just wanted to grow in my relationship with Christ and wanted to grow with other believers, like other sisters, and get plugged into AA because I only had 2 years left to get plugged in.
Yeah.
It wasn't my focus to be on the worship team. But then people eventually knew that I sang because I'm loud.
Yeah, because they can hear like, you. They can hear you from the stage.
Yeah. No, and I mean, we had class prayer meetings every Sunday, and so we would do worship there. And if it's just my class, they knew that I would sing, and we would sometimes have worship jam sessions. And so we would just play around on the guitar. I mean, I didn't play guitar, but I would just harmonize or practice harmonizing with them. So that's when people knew I sang, but I never wanted to sing. during my time in AA. So, it wasn't until, yeah, retreat. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I was going to share that. When I first joined SABC, I still remember when I sat next to Jess at retreat, and I hadn't thought about joining worship either, but then Jess had told you and introduced us. And it's really because of Jess that I'm doing this.
because, you and I owe our friendship to you, Jess.
Yeah.
I do remember that retreat. I remember it vividly. And I remember asking you if you were good. I think I said, are you good? And you said yes. And I was like, okay, cool. She's confident. She's bold.
No, that's not what I said. Didn't I say that? Because you said you liked my answer. My answer was that's what people say, right? Isn't that something that what I said?
I guess so, Okay,
I don't
fine,
think
yeah.
I answered you directly.
Yeah.
I think I said, that's what people say. And basically, indirectly, I was saying that, yes, I'm good.
Right. Okay, yeah. And in my mind, I just skipped straight to, yeah, she said, yes, she's good. So I do remember that. And I don't recall, like, how we started playing at church, but I know that was like how
in transit.
That's how we became friends. Oh, was it in transit?
Yeah. It was in transit.
Man.
It was in transit. I still remember the song. It was Grace Alone.
Wait, what? The I Was an Orphan. That one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you guys played it at IT Retreat and yes. I've never heard that before.
Oh, right.
And I think you were really into that song and yeah. I didn't like that song initially.
Wait, why? Because it's difficult to sing.
Yeah, it was difficult to sing. It was difficult, I think, as part of the audience for the first time.
Fair.
But then, when you had me sing it with you during the first time we played together,
yeah,
I think I was just like, this is a really, and you played it really fast. That's the thing. Yeah, you played it fast.
I do have my perks.
No, but I like that song now. I like that song now. It's all good.
So when you first came to FCBC, did you think that, we had a really like weird set of songs? I mean, obviously, a lot of it is because, you know, you were in transit, so you're part of that young adult group, you know?
Well, the first time I came, I think it was, I'm not going to say any names, but yeah, it was just songs that I've never heard before, like old hymns.
Okay, right.
And for me, because when I went to AACF, that was the same impression I had at AA, that they played a lot of hymns, and they were hymns like Before the Throne I've never heard of before. The old churches, they played more Chris Tomlin, Phil Wickham, you know, mm-hmm. and all the good, like, contemporary stuff, but they didn't play any Keith and Kristen Getty songs. Mm-hmm. But AA was definitely, they were big on having theologically sound music, because I'm sure some of the people that were there were from our church.
Right.
But I remember going, so I thought when I came to FCBC for the first time, I thought I'd be fine with the hymns, but to come to FCBC and there were things I didn't even hear before, then I was like, wow, I found a place where this place must be holier than FCBC. No, AA. I was like, and you know what? That's because that impression that I had of FCBC was similar to AA, because that was the same impression I have of AA. It's huge. And they're playing all these songs I've never heard of, but I think I could get used to them. And they preach God's word faithfully. And those were the three qualities I saw at FCBC. The big part was just like, whoa, I don't know if this will ever be home, but I thought about AA and eventually was home for me. So that was a confirmation from God that this is where I need to be. But it really was people that, like, I would, you know, because my small group actually discussed this, like, how do we be welcoming, thinking back how we were once welcomed? And it was people like, I remember John Zito, and I was telling Leslie this the other day, Leslie too, like, just people I sat next to that really welcomed me, really remembered me. I remember John Zito, just quick story, I remember I shared a prayer request with him, and then 2 weeks after, you know, at IT, he was like, hey, so you shared about this last time, so how are you doing now? Mm-hmm. And I was just blown away that he would remember me, because I was a stranger, and because he's a shepherd for so many people, how does he remember?
Absolutely. Follow-up is crucial to, you know, building relationships and just caring for people in general. And you're right, John Cito does do a particularly good job at that. Yeah.
So anyway, going back to music, I just thought, wow, these are like old old music and they're wearing, you know, certain shirts. Okay, I can get used to it.
Wait, you wore certain shirts? What's your... Oh, okay, I get it. I got you. Yeah, I got you.
But it was interesting. But and then just seeing the differences, I kind of liked it though, because I thought that even though it was not maybe consistent in sound and even consistent in music choice, you got to see the different generations, and you got to see different leadership styles, music styles. Right. And that's something that I love about our church, is that we have so many different generations. Of course, there's the downside. Yeah, you got to work with all of them, mm-hmm, and not everybody's mm-hmm. open to change. And, you know, we might not all be on the same page, but I think from an outsider coming in, a lot of churches don't have this. Mm-hmm. A lot of churches maybe just give it to the young people and have the young people do. But we have so much to learn from the older folks because they've been doing this for so long. Right. And I think we can learn from each other how to serve faithfully from them.
No, I agree 100% with you. Absolutely. I will tell you, though, one of my, I don't know if this is a fear or if it's just a concern, but there's going to be a point where, like, we're not young anymore, you know? And like, we're going to be the old guys. And so do you see yourself singing until like forever? Like on stage, I guess I should say. Is that messed up for me to say? Is that like ageism or whatever?
I don't think so. I think if you're capable and you're willing to, I think God can use you to be on that stage. Mm. You know, so, it just really depends.
So you don't see an end in sight for you singing?
No, I mean, I don't, unless, you know, I lose my voice completely or I just am not physically able to do it, then yes. But if I'm physically able to and I'm still invited to sing and I'm willing to do it, then yeah, I think I would be willing. I would want to be on there.
Oh, good.
And
good.
I would actually prefer to sing with younger people. I would want to, you know, kind of what I've seen mm-hmm. with some of the music teams, like Uncle Victor, right? He does have a range of people.
Right.
think that's a great way to get different generations and kind of like, that's how we learn from each other. It's to pair up. And sure, do that. I mean, your team does too. You asked Uncle David to play.
Yeah, he's good.
Age doesn't matter. He's
no,
good.
You're right. You're right. I mean, that is how I pick my team, I guess, who's the best. And then I just use it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I don't know if I'll be invited back next time.
Pride rising. Yeah, no, after last Sunday. Yeah. No, I mean, I say that like half jokingly. Like, it's not as if any of us are like super crazy or anything, but like, you guys are my friends too, you know? Like, I find it very special to be able to play with my friends, you know. And I get it, like, not that's not, you know, that's not church, like, oh yeah, it's all about your friends or whatever. No, but I find that as a particular blessing, I guess. One thing that I like about you is that you encouraged me to kind of widen my song choices. I still owe Man of Sorrows to you and Cornerstone.
Yes. Are you now considering Living Hope?
I am, actually. Yeah, I
that's
am
cool.
I'm at. So I had Angie come over and we actually recorded that song. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So I think after that recording comes out, I'll feel a little bit more confident with playing that song at church. It's a good song. It's a good song.
It's not bad. At first when I heard it, I just thought, oh, it's fine. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But then as I heard it more and I saw him perform it live. I saw him perform it at the Harvest Crusade.
Oh, okay.
That was good. It was perfect. So.
Are you a Phil Wickham fan at all? Like, do you know any of his older stuff?
I do, like Cannons.
Okay.
And Amazing Grace.
Okay. Yeah.
His brother, they went to a church in San Diego called Maranatha Chapel, and I would go there.
Oh,
there was a period of time that I would go there when. So it was like the time when my dad wasn't pastoring the other church. There was 1 year gap, and my brother and I, my family, we didn't really have anywhere to go because he wasn't pastoring a church at that time. It was a transition year. Mm. We checked out Maranatha Chapel, and he would be there. Like he and his, it would be either sometimes they'll both play, or maybe sometimes one of them will play, but. And you know, the person he wrote it with was Brian Johnson, because I was listening I was listening to the story on K-Love, because I listen to K-Love.
Nice.
we can talk about Christian radio some other time, but sometimes they do like behind the song. And so Living Hope was it. And apparently like Brian Johnson had texted him like, hey, let's write a song together about this.
Yeah, that's
like,
awesome.
Cause based off some verse. And then I was listening to Brian Johnson's music lately. Cause yeah. I was like, oh yeah, Brian Johnson, who is that guy?
Yeah.
And Love Came Down is actually one of my favorites from him.
Really?
Love Came Down and Rescued Me. Oh, did you not like that one at all?
I guess I got to revisit it, I guess.
It's so good. It's so, okay, but I am more into the emotional feeling, like, like, but not extreme, you know, like.
You and me pretty much share the same theological convictions, I think, for the most part.
Uh-huh.
How, uh-huh. like, where was the turning point? Because I know you said in high school, like, you know, you were, like, kind of prideful or whatever. Was it double A that kind of made you get back on track, you think? Like
double A. Okay. Double A's, yeah. I listened to a message by this guy named Alan Tai. He was at a church called CCAC, and during my time in double A, I'll be honest, he was like my favorite speaker.
Nice.
Probably because he talked about the gospel and he spoke on Matthew 5, Salt and Light. And at the time I was doing my Korean drama blog and, you know, living my online life.
Still waiting for that blog to come back.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yes. Oh no, probably, I don't know. We'll see. I'm all about personal relationships now. So it's a little, but I'm sure I could do it through my blog. I think it's just been hard for me to sit down and write, to be honest.
You do a lot of stuff. I don't blame you. You do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's hard. But I think as a natural extrovert, it's just harder for me. Or I don't know. Because I did have friends before. I did have friends. 2 years at community college, I didn't have as much fellowship. So I think I had more time to write out all of my feelings, like that was my outlet.
Right, nowadays
it's just if I need to talk to somebody, I'll just call somebody up, you know. But yes, the turning point would be that message. I think I still remember it. He was talking about salt and light and how salt can't lose its saltiness, right? He was giving all these examples and just calling out believers. If you are a true believer, then you cannot live a double life. And he said that. And I was like, I just felt like, whoa, he's talking to me. Like God is talking to me. And I have to choose. Do I choose to continue going on this route of blogging? Or at the time, actually, somebody reached out to me to put ads on my blog.
Oh, wow.
So I could start making revenue. Yeah. But then, and I was like considering it, but my blog readership, whatever, it wasn't even at a certain level that I wanted it to be.
Sure.
But I guess I would have wanted to do more, but I was at that time where I was debating going back and forth, like, do I continue doing this or do I get a real life? No, I'm just kidding.
there's always that turning point where it's like, oh, is what I'm doing, like, first off, effective? But then the other thing is like, is it right for me to be doing this? You know, you're always wrestling with that stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, what I was watching, I mean, Korean dramas, I wouldn't say are as, they're not, they're just addictive. And I think it was addictive in the sense, I mean, the content is fine for the most part. It's not like American shows, to be honest.
Right.
It's not, there's not like as much sexual content.
Yeah.
It's pretty like tame stuff, but for some reason, I think it just, girls love it because it gives them this idea of who, like, that they're a princess. I don't know, just, or like, there's guys, there's, you know, there's that draw. And I don't know, maybe just living vicariously through your character, which is addicting because you want it to be that character instead of your own life.
I think that you should write, ironically, I think you should write a blog on that. I don't think a lot of people know about your K-drama past. That would be my challenge.
I'll do
to
it.
You. Yeah.
And my challenge is to actually, you know, I want to finish my youth thing. And the reason why I haven't finished it or even really started on it much is because I'm in the process right now. I'm going through things with some of my youth.
Okay.
That has been very challenging. Things that we've never gone through. Yeah. And I want to finish that post, but I also want to do that post. You're right. I should talk about it.
Obviously, we're sensitive to the youth, right? And that, okay, so you recently went to turf. You left us.
I went to turf.
That's a worthwhile conversation.
This is supposed to be part of my blog post. Though. So the reason why I decided to go to turf, actually, when I was nearing the end of senior year with my girls, I thought, oh, I'm done. I'm done. Yay! Because, you know, JJ decided to do that, but he decided to go down to Awana.
Right.
And then for me, I was like, oh, maybe I could do Awana or I could do some other ministry. I got some new girls that started coming out near the end or the middle of senior year.
Okay.
And we just thought, if I leave now, and they may not come back. Actually, those new girls that came middle, they don't really come that much. But I just thought, I want to be here. I just thought about what I would be doing my time if I wasn't doing Unicoi. And having done it for 3 years in a row, it just felt like, yeah, maybe what would I do? I would just watch Netflix. Maybe not K-dramas, but I would watch Netflix, read. Maybe I would do some baking. Mm. But then it would just be for me. And that would get dull kind of pretty fast. And why not, if I have time, why not make a better investment? And I did want to walk with these girls because I felt that whenever I told my girls that, oh, hey, this might be our last time we're doing this, they were just like, they wanted to cry. I felt that for them, especially since some of them are staying around near the area, I don't know if I don't expect that all my girls are saved right now. I don't think that they've gone through enough trials in their life.
Sure.
And they may think that school is everything, but I think they need to experience more things, and that's when their faith will be tested. And I want to be there for them when their faith is tested. And so far, I have to say, like, it's been such a good decision because some of my girls have been going through things that I just found out. They're hard things that I had to seek counseling for because I just didn't know how to handle those kinds of situations.
Mm. No, I mean, I appreciate that. Like, obviously, yeah, you can, you're free to serve, right? I mean, I think it's very kind of encouraging to hear that you don't want to, you know, be selfish with your time on Friday nights, you know? But I do wonder, like, you do a lot of stuff, Nora. You do a lot of counseling stuff. You serve on music team before you had food fair stuff, you know, and you help me with social media stuff. So how do you balance your work ethic and your relaxed time and, you know, just rest? Like, what's your current plan of attack on that?
That's a great question. That's actually a question that I always revisit because people in my life tell me I need to slow down.
Okay.
I guess the short answer is no, I don't really balance it. I don't really have a balanced life. It's more like a roller coaster with me, and maybe Mark would be a good person to ask on this because he sees it and he probably feels it from me because I am a go kind of person. I don't know how to do it. Maybe so. Yeah, I plan my meetups right now. Let's see, my schedule has been, I try to meet up with one of my girls a week. My plan was to meet up with all of them before they started college within this past month, this month, and basically last month. So meet up with all of them and then have some more hangouts with them. And then I have my own small group, and we're doing 0 month for our small group this month. I guess it has been, I've had to sacrifice some things because I have a bridal shower wedding to plan, or not wedding, not my wedding. I'm sorry. Helping my friend, not me.
That's very different.
Don't want to start rumors. I don't know. I still have been getting sleep, but I think one thing that God teaches me is because I am not good at balancing. Like, for example, at YSMP, I lost my voice and I got sick.
Right. Yes.
So God physically has to, and I'm sure with this foot thing, I mean, I wouldn't say that God caused this so I can slow down, but in a way I kind of have to slow down because I can't even walk fast anymore.
Right. Yeah. You got that foot injury. And that, I mean, that it wasn't even like that wasn't even your fault, really. Somebody like hurt you. So
Yeah. That one was kind of, I mean, this is humbling too, because it has been painful. And just unexpected. Yeah, because that was what happened on Saturday. Was I was supposed to meet up with my girls and have breakfast with them, and that happened. And then I had to cancel breakfast, you know, and I just had to rest. Yeah. But, you know, I was stubborn because we got these tickets to Segerstrom. Robin and Danny gave us free tickets.
Oh, fancy.
And Mark wanted me to rest at home. Mm-hmm. But I was like, no, 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 no. We got free tickets. We're going to Costa Mesa. So he drove us to Costa Mesa and we watched the show.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure that going out with Mark, enjoying an evening, watching a show, going on a date, that to me, that sounds very restful than what you're normally doing in your day to day. So I count that a victory.
I do think that when you're dating someone, and I remember Miranda would tell me this too, like you kind of check off, and I don't know if Jess does this with you or you guys just are really disciplined, but I run things with Mark a lot. I tell him my schedule and he'll be like, is that really what? Are you sure you want to do that? Like he questions me. And actually, even before he says that, I kind of already know sometimes that I shouldn't be doing that. And so I will rearrange sometimes, like especially if anything that involves him, like, for example, if we had a meet up with a couple in the morning, like we decided to have breakfast, but then we were asked to babysit in the afternoon and then to go to a movie at night. I've had to learn, like, I can't do all three. I used to be able to do all three, but yeah, I would be tired by 9 p.m. I'd be conked out. You know, really exhausted.
And then the next day you'd have to go serve for something in the morning.
Yeah. So I've had to learn balance. It's like seeing how my actions or my decisions affect someone else. And something that my friend has told me too is that sometimes when you don't have plans, that's when God can use you more because some things will just come up, like you're available. And I don't want to be that kind of person that is never available. And I used to be like, oh, I need to, let me see, you want to meet up with me? Okay, let me look at my calendar for next month. We'll look at it. Yeah. And I don't want to be that kind of person. Sometimes it just happens, but I don't want to be like that all the time because if I need to minister to someone, I can't I'm too busy.
No, I agree 100%. Like when me and Jess had Snow Society, you know, I don't want to over spiritualize this either, but you know, obviously we have less time when you have a business. But now without Snow Society, you know, we're doing way more, I would say, ministry related things.
Yeah, you guys really are. I don't know how you do it. Like you think I do a lot. I feel like you do even more than me.
That's debatable. I guess that's debatable. If you fill your schedule up with all this stuff, you know, like there comes a point where like, well, maybe God wants something else for you to do, you know, and if your schedule is already full, you just have to be really open. You know, you have to, like what you said, kind of reevaluating like your situation, what's going on with you. Are you really putting in the time where you're most useful or where you think you should be, you know? Yeah, no, I think that's really good. With this context that you just gave me about how you do like to, you know, stay busy. When you originally told Double A that you're not going to sing, that must have been actually kind of hard for you then, was it?
I think yes and no.
Like, did you tell people? Were you like, oh, I don't want to sing because I got focused on my, you know?
I think it wasn't hard because people didn't know at the time I could sing. And then actually, we had other great people. Like, okay. I don't know if you know Coral. Coral was so good. I mean, there was like other people. There was a lot of good people. Like, they didn't need me. I know I'm good, but there's also other people who are good.
Yeah.
There were times where maybe I would want to sing on stage, but then I don't know. I was at a place where I'm okay. I was okay to not be there. Yeah. And I think I didn't ever serve on AACF, like their core staff, surprisingly, because I just did a lot of behind the scenes things. Yeah. I did a homeless ministry.
Okay.
That was cool. And small groups and other things like planning for banquets. Like I did more events. Coordination, meeting up with people. And I was okay to not be on stage because I think that having been on stage before, like, this is, sorry, going back to my relationship, like seeing somebody who doesn't seek, like Mark stacks chairs a lot and he doesn't ever get appreciation ever, you know, and I think it would be hard for me to be on stage and to not get, I mean, I don't, not that I need appreciation from people, but you know, to continue to do something that's like a thankless job, that's also service. And that's also serving people out of love.
Yeah.
And there's like other ways, I guess, than just being on stage. And yeah, like I have a voice and I can't be on stage. And that may be one of the easiest most effective way to use my voice, but there's also other avenues.
No, no, absolutely, 100%. I know, freaking Mark, Ricky, you know, these guys, they're faithful chair stackers. Yeah, chair stackers.
He's not going to like, well, I hope this isn't going to be published because he's not going to like that I talked about.
I'm sure he'll see it. I mean, you guys are, you guys are dating. No, but you do, but the point is that, like, hey, worship is not just singing on stage and being visible. And it's not about that. You know, it's not about us being visible. You know, it's not about us trying to, you know, bring attention to ourselves. I think especially as worship leaders, we probably need to be the most, like, critical of our own spirits, you know, because because it is a very public ministry. Are we willing to do the stuff if we didn't get thanked? Are we willing to put in as much effort as we do to our musical excellence if nobody, you know, saw it? If we did something else, you know, in some other service capacity where it's like, oh, they don't know how much work goes into this, you know, and you don't see any result and you don't get any praise. No, that's absolutely a critical heart attitude that I think every single worship leader should be aware of. It's extremely important. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's how pride grows, you know, like you just start thinking that, like, oh, yeah, this is my thing. I'm going to get the praise for this. I'm so good at this, you know, like, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no. Thanks for sharing that, Andora. I know that it's always weird going back to our past, you know, when we're like college or high school age, but there's a lot of wisdom just from growing up, you know, and being able to read back into that past and to say, this is what I learned, you know, coming out of it.
Now I have a question for you since you are continuing to do Unicoi.
Oh, great.
And also, I'm so happy to hear that you and Jess are both doing Unicoi because I think that's just like a beautiful picture of how a husband and couple, like a husband and wife can serve together.
It's different for everybody.
I'm sure it's different, but yeah. Since you're doing, I'm assuming you're doing music ministry again in Unicoi. Some things that like you want to tackle or like some things that you want to work with the students on this year to groom them to become worship leaders if they are musically talented and if they have those qualities of a servant, you know, leader or that they love God and want to serve God through music? What are some things that you want to work on this year?
So first off the bat is that, you know, Kevin is now the youth pastor, right? Kevin's a youth pastor. Before he was just the intern, and before I worked with Matt and Eugene. And Matt and Eugene, that, you know, I would tell them, hey, this is my plan. This is what we're doing. Are you cool with that? Do you need me to change anything? And they would always be like, no, just go ahead and do it. You know, like they trust me. And and I think that we worked really well together. Now that Kevin's on board, me and Kevin need to have that conversation where I kind of tell him like, hey, this is my vision for it. What's your vision for music ministry in high school and Gap? Like, how can I work with you? You know, what do you think is a good relationship for us to have? So me and Kevin need to have that conversation first. Now, you know, assuming we have that conversation, everything's cool. There is something else in the works too. And that is aligning youth worship on Sundays with Unicoi worship on Fridays. Cause I know there's always been a big disconnect there. And so I personally want to see that take place, where there's just alignment, there's some cohesion. And that's obviously going to be a bigger project. That's going to involve Terrence, you know, that's going to involve all the youth worship, like leaders and mentors over there. That's the other thing that's kind of on my mind. And then I guess the third thing is that, Chloe's a senior now, you know, so I do want to see her take more leadership roles, but I think where Chloe can grow, and I think she'd be okay with me saying this because we've talked about it before, is that I want to see her have more confidence, you know, take the lead, not only musically, but also on a spiritual level, in terms of like, hey, like worship is this, we need to be mature about this, we need to approach it in this way. So that's the other thing, kind of investing in my older leaders and having that trickle down to my younger leaders, because it should be a top-down approach, you know, like that's how we learn by looking up to those who have run the race before us and kind of learning from them too. And in the high school context, that's a very small window that you have to work with, right? Like, but the difference from a senior to a freshman they're worlds apart, you know? And so yeah, that's kind of what I have going on right now, you know? And I'm always open to hearing what everybody else has to say too, you know? I'm excited because Philip is going to be with me in Unicoi. That gives me another mature leader to pull from and use. Yeah. But I feel like before I solidify any of those other plans, I need to have that conversation with Kevin first. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that. That you're going to involve him. And that's important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. At the end of the day, like, he's the pastor, he's the shepherd. And you know me, like, the real spiritual growth and maturity, that does not come from serving in music ministry. That comes from preaching the word, you know, letting the word get implanted in the hearts of the students, having that renew their mind. And the music part, that's secondary. You know, obviously, I'm going to try to be faithful in my role here. But if I can support Kevin and the preaching of the word, I think that's crucial to figuring out our plans moving forward. But thanks for asking, Indora. Thanks for asking. I'm always open to hearing what you have to say. You know, I appreciate you and the work that you've done in the students' lives too. Like, obviously, I need to rely on the counselors. Like, I only see a glimpse of the students that play in music ministry. The counselors, I think, see a bigger picture than what I can see. And so obviously I go to you guys for your advice and for your recommendations.
Yeah. No, it's a team effort. I think that's actually something I talked to Chloe about too.
Okay.
And Darren Hahn at YSMP. Yeah. Cause I was telling them, hey, you guys know how to play. You think you suck. Okay. Yeah, we can, I mean, you can always improve, but you guys need to learn how to lead the congregation to sing. Yeah. How to lead the team and not be scared because they weren't like open to even saying, hello, everybody, let's like sing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it does take time, but it takes practice. And I told them the best place to practice is Unicoi. Honestly, the little kids, I mean, the Gap kids for sure look up to you guys.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Not the adults or anything, but that's how I learned. Those are good things.
Thanks. No, I mean, please keep asking me about that. Even though you're in turf, I mean, you're going to see these students in turf too. So yeah, please endure asking me. And I will ask for your recommendations and your advice, of course. Thanks for
sharing. Oh, no, we're all partnering. Oh yeah, for sure.
It's hard to imagine it without you now, actually, you know, like I think that we've been serving for a good amount of time together and it's been fun. It's been a joy. Thanks for doing this podcast, Indora. I don't want to take too much of your time. Besides Phil Wickham, what else have you been listening to? You know,
I've been listening to a podcast, actually.
Really? Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
It's not like a sermon. I have been listening to Radical by David Platt because my favorite preacher. But one thing I've been listening to at work is called Myths and Legends. So it's a secular podcast, but it's really interesting. Okay. I like it because the guy, his name I think is Jason or whatever. He narrates the story of myths and legends from things that we maybe popularize, like the Little Mermaid, and he tells the original story.
Okay.
And he's done like Greek mythology, but he's done like Japanese mythology. Like he just talks about all these legends and myths that you may or may not have heard of. And it's really interesting to me because I think, because one, I learned about other cultures. And also, like, I heard the story of Mulan, like the actual story, not the Disney version.
Yeah,
and I thought that was interesting. Yeah, and then you like he does every single kind of all over the map, and he's good. It's not only informative, but he does, of course, his own commentary, his social commentary, and given that we're in, you know, modern times, and some of these stories are not favorable towards women or towards certain social statuses. I just thought it was interesting, like how these stories may have originated or the impact that they may have had on society. I just found it randomly when I was looking for podcasts that I could listen to at work.
Yeah, that's awesome.
While I was doing some random things.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it's been fun. It's been fun to learn about these different cultures and just to learn about like their way of thinking. Like, how did they even think about these stories? And he'll give insight, like historical background sometimes as he tells it.
Man.
So it's just super interesting to me.
No, that sounds that sounds really cool. I will.
Yeah,
I
you
will
can check it out. You can check it out. Check it out. Yeah. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, I totally will. Man, thanks so much, Indora. Thanks for doing this. And we should do it again. Yeah, we should do it again.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Indora, for being my guest on the show. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please send me your feedback or questions for follow-up. You can even send me any questions specifically for Indora to follow up on, and I'll be sure to get to them in the next few episodes. In the show notes, you'll find links to our podcast archive. And don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. My website is musicgoon.com. The email address for this podcast is soundwords@musicgoon.com. And you can always tweet me @musicgoon. Thanks. See you soon.